Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
In the NFL and in any sport, a win is a win. But I feel much less excited after this game than I did after last week. So, Josh and Joe, back with another Browns Instant Insights podcast edition, WFNY. Brought to you by Evergreen Podcast Network. We're live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere you want to listen and see our ugly faces. We're live. If you're listening to us tomorrow or later tonight on the podcast, you can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're there, waitingfornextyear.com podcast. Joe, I know you're at the game. First off, how was it?
Insane.
Second off, just had, like, the full experience. Give me like the pregame experience, the during the game experience, the postgame experience, and then just the Browns are got a W and they're back to 1-1.
Yeah, it was a madhouse, man. Just walking down there, seeing all the people. It was great to see just everybody back in the city, filling up the bars and all that. So it was great to see. The stadium is rocking. When they announced the defensive starting lineup and they announced Myles Garrett, that was one of the loudest moments I've heard. That stadium rock, and they kept it up throughout the game. It was one of the better crowds I've experienced before, it got a little hairy throughout the game, but a win is a win, as we said. And it was a fun atmosphere being back in the city stadium with a full crowd.
Yeah, so I have two things from what you said. One, I think that explains a lot about how the Browns have been since 99, that a player being announced is one of the loudest moments in that stadium.
Yeah.
Two, moral victories. Last week, we were happy. I mean, we could have been happier if the Browns actually came away with a W in Kansas City, but we were just happy because of how the Browns looked outside of the final 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But moral victories don't count as W's on the scoreboard or on the record or whatever, standings, whatever you want to call it. So no matter how, I'll be honest, I haven't said it in WF in my Discord. I'm less excited today than I was last Sunday, even though we lost last Sunday and we won today. But they're 1-1. They won today. Even if it was the ugliest game ever, the Browns over the last 22 years, they usually lose those ugly games.
Right.
So a win is a win. I mean, it's not going to say a win ugly in the standings. It's just to say a win, one right. W.
Yeah. Usually we're the other team. we've been the other team quite often. And that's why I don't feel too bad about it. Obviously there's a lot of issues that they have to fix, especially on defense. But the Texans, we went into it. They're a veteran team, man, and they're experienced. Those guys don't quit. Those type of teams aren't the ones that will take a hit and just kind of roll over. They'll keep fighting. We saw that. It was an ugly game at times, especially on defense. But it kind of reminded me of just of a game last year. Just a lot of the games last year were kind of ugly, especially on defense. But the Browns put it away in the fourth quarter with their run game, and that's all you can ask for. We're 1-1, first place. We're going to be first place after the end of this week, and that's all you can ask for. When we were going through our predictions, what did we predict? 1-1, and that's all that matters. Keep getting better. There's some upside on defense that we'll talk about later. I think is a boosting point. It's a young defense still a lot of new pieces, and it's not something I'm gonna just kind of extreme and, oh my God, we're doomed or anything. It's still a long season. It's week two. So we'll see what we got next week. The Bears.
Against the Bears and possibly Justin Fields with Andy Dalton going down with an injury. So that could be interesting. Because I mean, we won't talk about the Bears too much, but I feel like the Bears are a much better team with the rookie than they are with the redhead.
Yeah, it's more versatile. Like, you have to worry about more things, especially with Fields' legs and all that. It's kind of like what we saw today for the Texans. Tyrod Taylor gave them fits because his legs and his movement and mobility kind of, they got him out. They couldn't stop that offense for a while. And then when David Mills came in, it definitely changed because he didn't have quite the mobility that Tyrod had. So it might be a similar situation next week. So we'll see.
Absolutely. Yeah. Back to this win, though. I guess we'll start offensively. OBJ was ruled out midweek. Kevin Stefanski made that known. Jarvis Landry catches the first ball. And he goes out with a knee injury. It ends up being an MCL sprain, which I don't know the timetable for that. It's obviously better than an MCL tear.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it'll be a few weeks. I mean, they've obviously been cautious with Odell coming back, so they're going to do the same exact thing with Jarvis. But, yeah, so, and then not only Jarvis, but then Baker on the interception that was not his fault, as Kevin Stefanski also said in the press conference after the game. Uh-huh. Anthony Schwartz.
To stop.
I don't know if it was like a rookie thing or if Anthony Schwartz was just afraid to go over the middle, but he just stopped and led to an interception. Stop. And on the interception return, Baker being Baker, instead of being a quarterback where you stand back, he's as competitive as ever. He goes to the tackle and his shoulder pops out of the socket. Goes back to the locker room, they pop it back in, but even Stefanski said after the game that his entire game plan changed after that because he wasn't trying to get Baker hit again. So, I mean, part of me says the Browns should have covered, which was 13.5.
Almost.
The other part of me says the Browns just scored 31 points. I don't care who it is against. They scored 31 points with a banged-up quarterback, without their two best receivers, and with their head coach completely changing the game plan to protect his quarterback.
Yeah, I had nothing – I'm not going to take much. I think the offense played well. They did what they had to do. We saw pretty much a similar game plan from last year where the run game was really the driving point of the offense. And it started off a little shaky on the run game, but they got going. They were tough to stop, and Chubb was Chubb again, dominant again. And Hunt had a really good game too. But yeah, the receivers being out, it's just tough. You got a rookie out there, and then you got Higgins, who had a nice game, a solid comeback after week one, not playing much. And then DPJ kind of was silent again. I'm not sure what's going on with him. Hopefully he can get going. They'll need him if Jarvis is out for extended period of time. Hopefully we'll get OBJ back maybe next week. There's a lot of rumors, maybe week three. But yeah, I had no really qualms about the offense. They played well. They did what they had to do, and they got the win. And they kind of helped the defense a little bit in the second half. They took a lot of time off the clock, and that kind of saved their save the defense from having to be on the field so often. So, yeah, it's a good performance by the offense.
Yeah, and as you said, they got the win. As Joe Gilbert, your dad, says, like Coach Herm Edwards, you play to win the game.
Right. Yeah,
it's true in the NFL and in any sport, but especially in the NFL. You do whatever you have to do to just get the W, no matter how ugly it is at times.
Yeah, and Baker was excellent again. He really did. He had two incompletions, and I think the adjusted might be 100% because I think one of them was obviously that terrible just stopping of by Schwartz, and then I forget what the other one was, but
I honestly couldn't tell you the other one. Yeah. I couldn't tell you the other incompletion.
I think it might have been a throwaway, but it's incredible his accuracy so far this year. I think he has 9 overall or 9 or 7, I forget which one. For over 2 games, that's incredible. His accuracy has been really good. His game, his decision making has been really good. He doesn't even have his number one receiver out there. So,
or his number 2 receiver today,
right? Yeah, or number 2. Yeah.
I mean, we all know. I'm not even going to get into this argument, but we all know Baker's not Patrick Mahomes. We all know he's not Tom Brady. But if he doesn't make mistakes, like, I mean, his interception today, not his fault. Interception last week in Kansas City, you can say whatever you want to say.
Bad timing.
It was because, yes, it was bad timing, but it was also because he was throwing it as he got tripped up. So both of his interceptions were, one of them wasn't his fault. Two of them, it was just bad timing, like we said. So if he just doesn't make mistakes and then allows his playmakers, i.e. OBJ, Landry, DPJ, Austin Hooper, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, just those guys should just be playmakers. This offense, the ceiling is very, very, very high.
Yeah, we saw it. And we might have a new playmaker, Dimitri Felton. That kid had he had 2 touches, and they were both
that spin move, that sudden stop and spin move. It was like Braxton, for those Ohio State fans, Miller at Virginia Tech by like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Dimitri Felton. I mean, speaking insane. Of Dimitri Felton, without OBJ and without Jarvis, besides that first play, Dimitri Felton led the team in receiving yards. He had 2 receptions, 51 yards, 1 touchdown. I mean, we're only 2 games in the season, but I think it's safe to say that he was a steal in the NFL draft as a rookie.
That's back-to-back rookies, right? Leading wasn't Schwartz or leading receiver last week?
Ooh, I think you're right. Who would have ever seen that coming with literally Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, DPJ, and Rashard Higgins on the roster? Who would have ever thought that rookies would be back-to-back leading receiving yards for the first 2 games of the year?
Shout out to Andrew Berry right there. Felton I think today showed that he needs to be on the field more and he needs more touches. He had
2 honestly, touches. Wait, yeah. I'm gonna interrupt you.
Yeah.
But if with the team fully healthy, how the hell do you get Dimitri Felton on the field, to be honest?
Right. It's sort of like gonna be like with Schwartz. You're gonna have to find a way. You're gonna have to find some weird like different trick plays and stuff like that. The kid, when he had the ball in his hand, he made multiple that one run. He made like 4, 5, 6 guys miss, but the other one he made another guy miss. It was an impressive showing by him playing in his first like kind of big moments on offense, and he stepped up and he had a good return too. So yeah, the kid, I think he'll be a good one for him. I think he might grow into this offense and maybe be more used down the road, but going in the next couple of weeks, if Jarvis is out and Odell still stays out, I would love to see him on the field more often, just making plays as a receiver
and even as a running back. I mean, the Browns might have not only the best running backs, well, the best running back duo, but I mean, you should consider that the third running back is Dimitri Felton, or I don't want to jinx anything, but they're freaking loaded offensively.
Yeah. We saw it. The Browns lost they did have the first 2 receivers, and it scored 31 points. Like,
but you know, people are going to be saying, because obviously Browns fans can never just be completely positive.
Yeah.
It was against the Houston Texans. They're supposed to be the worst team in the NFL this year. I don't care.
Yeah.
If you're without OBJ and Jarvis, and you have rookies step up, the depth is one thing, but then when you have the speed and the elusiveness like Dimitri and the speed with Anthony Schwartz And then you just have guys like Harrison Bryant, who is the second in the team in receiving yards today. And Harrison Bryant is technically the third best tight end on the depth chart.
Yeah.
So it's just this team is so deep offensively. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And we still on their offensive line, too. Jedrick Wills got left during the middle of the game, I think like second half, and Blake Hance stepped right in and he wasn't bad. So it just it's amazing how much depth this offense has in almost every unit on the roster. It's quite impressive. So I just expect even better things once it's get healthy. Once everybody gets healthy and we'll see a full roster, but yeah, it was good. It was a good showing for him. The run game took over.
Speaking of the run game taking over, one, it'll be interesting to see how often the Browns use 12 and 13 personnel, which for those unfamiliar, that would be two tight ends, one running back, two tight ends, and one running back, three tight ends, with OBJ and Jarvis both out. Because we already know that Stefanski loves using his tight ends. And when you don't have your top two receivers, that's going to be even more often. And then, secondly, I'm surprised that Stefanski didn't run the ball more often because Baker was banged up and because he didn't have his top two receivers. Because Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt combined for 24 carries for 146 yards. So they average, if I can do the quick math, that'd be like over 6 yards a carry. So they obviously dominated, especially in the fourth quarter. I'm surprised they didn't get the ball more often.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I think a lot of it was just like the game. There wasn't a lot of total plays, really. It was kind of more dragged out, long drives. So it kind of just the momentum went that way. And I really believe that Stefanski is looking down the road and not trying to run Chubb down everyone's throat and get him hurt or tired down the road. So I think he's actually looking just to keep everyone fresh during the game and for later in the season.
It's weird to think as a Browns fan, like down the road, like why keep players fresh? You know what I mean? But I agree with you to a point, but then I don't know. I just feel like a game like today, I'm not going to question Stefanski. He's a great head coach. But I just figured they get more than 24 carries combined is all. Offensively, can't ask for much of anything else, especially without OBJ and Jarvis. Uh-huh. Anthony Schwartz had a rookie mistake. It happens. He'll learn from it in film. My guess is that he was afraid to go over the middle. That's my guess. He didn't want to get lit up.
Yeah, that would be my guess, too. He wasn't used very often at Auburn. Over the middle, so maybe he's just not used to it.
His route at Auburn was, hey, go run the streak.
Right. Yeah. It's a rookie mistake. It'll happen. Those are one of those things where interceptions and sacks and stuff, you can't always look at the person that actually threw it or gave up a sack or anything like that. And there's a lot of things that go into it, and this time it was on the receiver, not much bigger.
I completely agree. Unfortunately, if you only look at the box score and you didn't watch the game,
right.
It says Baker interception. It doesn't say like Anthony Schwartz interception, his fault. It just says Baker INT, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So offensively, I'm fine with it. Defense still has a lot of question marks. They're getting better. They're improving. They need to gel more. I guess last week we discussed how Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, they didn't necessarily get sacks. I guess Myles Garrett had one last week. But they were making Patrick Mahomes very uncomfortable in the pocket. It seemed like Tyrod Taylor, I don't know if it was like, I don't know. It seemed like the defensive line didn't really do much of anything today.
Yeah, it wasn't as good of a performance as last week. Miles, he had his moments too, and Jadeveon too, but it wasn't the thing. It wasn't the level that you wanted from this defense. Especially they're going to be looked upon early on in the season to get pressure to help in the secondary as they gel and get better in the secondary. So it wasn't the best performance, but a win is a win. And I have it's really early for this defense. There's a lot of new faces, a lot of new people coming in and out of the lineup. So I'm not too worried about it right now. But it's definitely something they need to work on and get better at.
Yeah, I don't. And then, so the defensive line was sort of non-existent today. The linebackers, you didn't have Anthony Walker. Malcolm Smith played a lot. Taki. Seemed like he played quite a bit in the first half, but I didn't really see him much in the second half, to be honest. And then the first half, I know he had the punt, the muff punt recovery, which led to the first touchdown, so that was obviously good. But as an Ohio State fan and a Browns fan, I'm used to being worried about the linebackers. When was the last time the Browns or Ohio State had like a, hey, this guy's our number one linebacker? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Malcolm Smith played well, I think, overall. He had that interception. And then just he kind of bounced back from last week where he was, which was just a terrible matchup for him. Travis Kelce's a terrible matchup for anybody. But yeah, I think the secondary played all right. Denzel seemed to, it was kind of weird early on. He was playing very soft. I'm not sure why they did that and kind of gave Tyrod a lot of easy receptions early on. But Newsom had some rookie stuff happen where he got a pass interference and all that, but he made up for it on a deep throw late in the second half, so that was nice. But the real this is what I kind of talked about early on. The real exciting part is Grant Delpit. Grant Delpit came in first debut, and he had a hell of a game, man. He had a hell of a game. It was one of the most impressive ones on that defense. He had a sack, a couple of line of scrimmage tackles. He was moved all over the secondary, and I believe he's like a huge piece for this offense or for this defense to really be what they want to be. And that's a heavy dime defensive back rotation lineup, and just everybody playing being versatile defenders so they can switch between position players and all that. So it was a good first step. And that's why I'm a little bit better feeling after this in terms of defense. It just showed how much talent that kid has, and just putting him in the defense allowed it. Which we saw, that's why we saw a little bit less of Taki in the second half. They went with Delpit in the secondary, which moved up Ronnie Harrison to play mid-range, like a linebacker almost, for a lot of the plays. And it looked good at stretches, and then some. Obviously they weren't fully ready to go with that. But I like the prospects of that going forward. I would love to see more of it. I would love to see more blitzing. We saw that late in the, I believe it was the last drive of the game. They blitzed Delpit off the corner, and he had a free rush and hit the quarterback and caused a fumble. I would love to see more blitzing. I know they love to just rely on the front four to rush the passer, but sometimes blocking wins, and you're just gonna have to throw different things at you. You could see Pittsburgh has TJ Watt, has Cam Hayward, but they blitz too. So sometimes you need to send different things, different looks, and pressure the quarterback. So I would love to see more of that too.
You covered basically everything. There's not really much for me to add, but as you said, the versatility with JOK, Grant Delpit, and Ronnie Harrison all being able to be either like near the line of scrimmage or as a safety or linebacker or whatever. I mean, Joe Woods has a lot to play with going forward.
Yeah, and this is the test. This year is going to be the test on Joe Woods. We saw last year it was he just didn't have the personnel. This year, if everyone stays healthy, which is obviously something we have to cross our fingers with, but if everyone's healthy, Joe Woods has all the pieces to run his defense the way he wants. And if they don't perform, it's on him. It's going to be on him. The talent is there. I would love to see more dime looks, more less linebackers on the the less linebackers on the field, the better. And then just more different things, just sending different pressures and all that. That'd be nice to see going forward. But it was a good, we saw snippets of it today. So I have a little bit of hope that it's something is there. So we'll see. But this is a big year for Joe Woods. He's got to step up and show what he's got when he's got the personnel.
It's almost like, I'll do another Ohio State comparison. This is a make it or break it year, just like it is for defensive coordinator Kerry Coombs in Columbus. It's a make it or break it year for Joe Woods in Cleveland as well.
Yeah,
he has the players. He has high expectations. I mean, he just needs to. I don't care how many new faces he has. I mean, it's only week two. I'm literally not worried at all.
Right.
But he just has to put it together as the season goes on. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. It's like once we get around maybe week five or six or seven, that's the midway point almost. We need to see a drastic improvement from this defense. And I believe it's there. The talent is there. We saw it with glimpses each in both games. We saw glimpses of what it could be. So I really want to see more of it. And hopefully that just comes with the gelling of the defense and everyone staying healthy and being able to play what they want to do on defense.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of the versatility that they have offensively with Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt in the backfield, Demetric Felton, literally anywhere on the field, I guess. And then defensively, like I just said, Grant Delpit, you can have him anywhere on the field. I mean, I guess anywhere between the numbers. Ronnie Harrison, same. JOK, I know he made one solid play today. I didn't really hear his name much, but then again, not hearing your name much defensively tends to be a good thing if you're in the secondary.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, like we both said, Joe Woods has all the tools. He just has to put them together.
Yeah. And we can gauge, so just for fans going forward, we can gauge their success by a very important thing, third downs. They struggled again today with getting off the field on third downs. So if they improve in this area, then you'll see the drastic improvement on the defense. They just need to get off the field, and they haven't been able to. There was a couple of this. It was third and longs, and they gave it up. It's still a huge problem. They need to shore that up, and hopefully, once the defense develops, we'll see it improve. But yeah, so far not been good on third downs, and that's a huge huge moment in the games for defenses.
For those wondering, Texans were 8 of 14 on third downs today, and I'm pretty sure Kansas City was over 50% as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, third down defense, when you have a chance to get off the field, you have to get off the field more than 50% of the time. I mean, obviously, it's not ever going to be zero. But, yeah, like you said, third down is so big. I mean, against the Houston Texans of the world or of the NFL, it's okay to give up more than 50%. But when you play the Kansas City Chiefs or when you come down to the playoffs, I know it's weird we're talking playoffs in week two. But, yeah, the third down defense must improve. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the number one area of concern for defense, and they need to fix that, and that comes with just getting better as an overall defense. So I'm hoping it will improve as the season goes on. It better.
if the Browns and their fans want to meet the expectations that were given to them, the defense has to improve. Like we both said, it's week two. It's like they have like five or six new faces out of the 11 players on the defense. I mean, it might be even more than that. Honestly, Grant Delpit, Newsome,
John Johnson.
Yeah, I'm it's like eight guys. It's literally outside of Myles Garrett. It's like everyone's a new face.
And John Johnson hasn't even played that well, and he's a all pro safety that we just got. So it just shows that how much goes into just working together and getting experience together. So I'm not too worried about it yet.
Speaking of players that haven't played much, I didn't see Greedy Williams today. Am I wrong?
They actually use Troy Hill most often, and then I think I saw Grant Delpit actually outside some. So I don't. Yeah, it's it doesn't look like Greedy's getting on the field. He doesn't really need to right now because Newsom is playing really well as a rookie, and it's just more of a death piece right now with Greedy. Hopefully, he can stay healthy during practices and be ready whenever they need him. But yeah, right now he's not hitting the field as much.
Yeah. So I don't really know what else there's to say. I mean, the Browns won by 10. They didn't cover. I know good teams win. Great teams cover. The Browns aren't a great team yet. We all know that. What were you going to say?
Let's give a shout out to special teams. They did
what they were supposed to.
The returns. We had a couple good returns. We had a good field goal that was important, and Jimmy Gillen caught the punt. So can't ask anything more than that.
I don't really know, like the fact that we're like, oh heck yeah, our punter caught the ball. I feel like that's like the 0-16 Browns. But then again, it's progress, and we're all about progress here.
I have to say, it was one of the funniest things that it was at the game. It was the first punt. I never heard this before, but the fans cheered when he caught the ball. there was a good sizable cheer when he actually caught the punt and actually got it off. It was hilarious. And
you know he heard that, or the players, some of the players on the sidelines heard it, and they're probably ripping them on the sideline. You know.
Oh yeah, it was quite funny, but yeah, win is a win, and we move on to Chicago next week. Here in Chicago, Chicago's coming to us, but yeah, can't wait.
I'm assuming you're going.
I am. I will be there. Justin Fields, hopefully.
Yeah, I said preseason, I hope the Browns win 50-42. Justin Fields puts up like 6 touchdowns, so that way the Ohio State Browns fans, like myself, are happy with Justin Fields, and the Browns still win. It's a win-win. The defense could look like shit. I don't care. It's week 3. But yeah, it's just 50. Imagine a game high scoring like that. That'd be awesome to go to, honestly.
Yeah.
Like 70 to 80 points.
Like we're seeing this Arizona game right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Can't so wait. Browns are 1-1. They have the Bears next week, and then they're at Minnesota, who, like Joe just said, they're in a shootout with Arizona. And then they're at Minnesota, who's in a shootout with Arizona right now. That's hard to say, but choice. But yeah, the Browns got the W today. Who cares first how place. Ugly it looked?
First place.
They're in first place at 1-1.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh lost today.
Good news.
TJ Watt went down with an injury. Their offensive line. It's crazy. Like, who would have ever expected that their offense would look terrible when their offensive line sucks? We all knew. If you're a fan of the NFL, you knew that their offensive line was going to stink. Yet they. Their first two picks in the NFL draft this past April were on a running back and a tight end, because obviously when you have a bad offensive line, the first thing you're going to do is pick a running back in the first round of the NFL draft.
Yeah, and keep your immobile quarterback that has a noodle arm now. So yeah.
It's great. Yeah, like one of my buddies is a Steelers fan. He was like, oh, yeah, I trust Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has always been good. They always do the right thing. They let go of Antonio Brown when they should have. They let go of Le'Veon Bell. I was like, dude, you don't realize that literally their offensive line is horrible. Yeah. A first-round running back isn't going to fix that.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So, and a lot of good things. If you look at the – just look around. I know Ravens play tomorrow, but I think tomorrow. Or tonight, I think.
Ravens are tonight. And by the way, my buddy that I was just talking – excuse me, I was just talking shit about, I'm currently receiving a call, so – might be too new this one. But, Noah Johansson, just know that your offensive line is terrible. All right, go on.
But yeah, the Browns looked the best of all those three teams, three other teams. So good showing so far, and it's kind of exciting that we look the best, and we still have a lot of room to grow and get better.
The Browns, yeah, they have a lot of room to grow and get better. The Steelers, unless their defense, if they want to win eight games, their defense is going to have to win six of those. Because their offense isn't going to do it. Let's be honest. Their offense is not going to do it unless they make some trades or something for the offensive line. Cincinnati, they are what they are. Joe Burrow is really good. Their offensive line also stinks. They're super young. They just are what they are. Baltimore, their injuries continue to cost them. Holy cow. And then I saw tonight, Marlon Humphrey is questionable tonight with an injury.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I forget what year it was. Browns had like, this is when they were crappy, so it didn't really affect them.
This is when the Ravens were, when the Browns were crappy? Yeah. This can literally be any time from 1999 to 2019. But
that's why I can't remember the year.
You really narrowed that down from 22 years to 20 years.
Yeah, I can't. I just can remember how many times they had so many crushing injuries, and I think one year we went through four different quarterbacks. So, yeah,
and then it took them from five wins to three wins. It was terrible.
Yeah, we know Baltimore's pain, but this is obviously even more important because they're one of the top teams. It's looking right now that it's going to have to be Superman Lamar to win games on offense, because they are their run game is suspect as best.
The two most important things in the NFL are to one, have the talent and out talent the other team, and two, stay healthy. In football, if you can stay healthy, that gives you a leg up literally on 90% of the other teams.
Yeah, that's why the Chiefs have been so, they've been super lucky. It's been insane. And we saw...
I love how you're just throwing out this reverse jinx right now. I love it.
Who else has been healthy? The Tampa Bay Bucks have been healthy.
Let's see. What? Who are the other top teams in the NFL? Just say how healthy they've been, Joe, please.
The Buffalo Bills, they have been healthy too. But yeah, it's one of those things that you don't really focus on during the like preseason or previews of things, but... Man, the injuries are so important in the NFL. It seems like it's even more so now that injuries have affected teams' chances so much. So, yeah, it's definitely something. That's why I didn't have a problem with Stefanski kind of easing them during preseason, because look at the Ravens. They lost so many people during the preseason. So I'm not. That's why I think it's better easing them in rather than kind of just throwing everybody out there to get reps and stuff. So
same thing goes for Jarvis with this MCL sprain.
Yeah.
Ease him back. If you can just lean on Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and then just let Baker you're going to have to lean on the young guys out wide and then the veteran tight ends, I guess. Although outside of Harrison Bryant, he's not a veteran. But yeah, just... I mean, obviously, it makes things a bit tougher when you don't have OBJ and Jarvis on the field, especially as leaders. But it's all about – it's like the cliche is, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
So I'd rather have him healthy in week 17 than playing at 50% for 5 weeks.
Yep, and that's why winning ugly is still a win. Doesn't matter what they got, and it's a win, and we're 1-1.
And that's a great way to end it. Yeah, Browns are 1-1. Chicago Bears next week, 1:00. Joe's going. I might possibly be going. This will be my first Browns game in a long time. Because I was always on the mindset I'd rather drive an hour and a half south to go to a game than go 45 minutes north to go to the Browns game for the same price. But now it's like, man, I kind of want to go to a Browns game. And the fact that Justin Fields could be playing just makes it a little bit more enticing. So, yeah, I might be at the game as well, but we'll be back between 6 and 7 probably next Sunday night. Browns post game incident sites WFMY podcast edition. Browns won ugly today, 31-21. Sunday night NFL countdown must be early for the NFL this week.
I just heard my ringtone. Thank you very much.
That is a true NFL fan when you had the Sunday night NFL countdown. Then as the that's awesome. Browns are 1-1. They won ugly today, but who cares? They got the W. That's all that matters. On to Chicago, chance to go 2-1, and we'll be back with you next week.
See ya.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.